let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
What's up, people? It's me, Adam Hunter. We got a new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with Mayhem. I'm happy he's here because we were going to have to wait another week because, like, I was on a ship all last week and the service was just terrible. I mean, the Wi-Fi was awful. So, and then Mayhem was like, I could do Wednesday at noon. And I'm like, all right. So I get the jokes done for Gutfeld. I plan. I'm up till 4 o'clock in the morning in the bathtub looking up MMA stories and all this stuff. I'm taking a bubble bath. I'm up night. And then in between writing for Greg, I'm like, okay, getting it together. And then 11:30 rolls. You guys good to go? Bill's like, sorry, man, can't do it. I don't know where Don is. Sean is the MIA. And then Jason at 2 o'clock says, I'm ready now. And I'm like, I'm ready now. Like, it was after I just quit and said, you know what? This is just not, it wasn't meant to be today. But now Jason ran into a hotel. You could see him right now. Wherever he was, he took a scooter.
Adam, yes. Anything that could happen. Please continue your story just for a moment while I rekey my key card here at the Walker Hotel in beautiful Tribeca.
All right. So Mayhem is in Tribeca making it happen. He's in obviously in some snowstorm, or it's really bad where he is. So I'll just keep going. So I was on a cruise ship last week, and I had to write the jokes for, every day I have to write 20-25 jokes based on, they give you like 300 stories of me to just comb through. I feel like I'm getting the college education that I probably should have got. I was a poli sci major. I don't think I took one useful course in college, but the last 2 years I've had just nothing but just, and then they give you the CNN side, the NBC side, it's not just the conservative side. Anyway, so I'm writing all this stuff, and of course there's no Wi-Fi in my room. I'm paying for internet, so I'm like, all right, I'll go downstairs to where all the guests are to write. And of course, they're having their Mardi Gras celebration all week long. So all these people who've been on this ship for 2 weeks are just going ballistic, nuts. And of course, I get the ship when it's 5 days at sea. So there's no ports. I'm like Magellan. I couldn't wait to finally hit land. And you know, everywhere people I go, people are like, hey, man. People like my age, I'm 47, maybe a little younger, like, oh, dude, guess what? You're my grandma's favorite comic. Or like, you're my grandpa's favorite comic, which was never the goal. Like, I started out as like the dirty porn comic. Then I was like the UFC comic. And now I'm people's grandmother's favorite comic. So all the grandparents were on the ship. People are literally like in wheelchairs rolling in, high-fiving me, coming to every single show. It was six shows, and I don't want to repeat shows, so I'm doing six different 30-minute shows. And then, of course, you get the younger people, so I get to like the sex part, and some lady just starts yelling, come on my ass, and come on my tits, and I like to swallow. So like that was fun. But then I get off the ship at Saturday and I get booked to do this. Hey, man, you want to do this show for Republicans? I'm like, dude, I'll do shows for anybody. I'm an independent. I'm not a Republican. I'm just whoever I think is, whoever can just, you know, get the crackheads off my streets. So I don't have to walk around crackheads. And whoever could, like, if I call the cops, I want them to show up. And I'm for charter schools because, you know, private schools are through the ass and more things. Anyway, so I get off the ship and then I go home because, you know, they reimburse me for, so I go back from like Long Beach to Woodland Hills an hour, and then I got to drive to Orange County to a show at noon. And so I get there and these are like people that are, I'm following some kind of election. They're voting for the board of governors. It's Steve Hilton versus this person versus that person. People are wearing all kinds of like sparkly Trump things, pins everywhere. They bring me up. People think I'm some kind of guest speaker. It's noon. Nobody's paying attention. Old ladies are like all to their backs to me. You can't hear me. I have one of those microphones that's going in and out. There's people on the podium with me, a black guy with a cowboy hat, some guy's doing his taxes. Like, literally, I felt like I was just a crazy person just doing my act. And I thought, oh, this is going to go really well. And I'm still, like, seasick from getting off the ship. I'm like Rocky. I'm like, I might actually faint during this. Like, I'm getting lightheaded. Dude, this was a hell gig. I get off the stage. People were like, man, it was funny, but we couldn't hear you. Or I like you better on Gutfeld. Or I'm like, just get me out of here. I made a beeline for my car and then just drove home. So I got it in Saturday. And of course, I'm like, all right, I'll go home. I'll watch the fights. But obviously, I haven't seen my daughter in a week and my wife. And my daughter's like, no, we're watching the Olsen twins or we're watching this. So I'm trying to like watch a movie with her while having my phone somewhere in the corner so I could watch it with like one eye. Or I'm sneaking into the bathroom to watch the fights. So anyway, here we are, here with Jason Mayhem Miller. How are you, man? You know what? He's muted, and like, I can still hear him. That's how loud this guy is. How are you?
Thank you for saying that, brother. I really am the loudest man in mixed martial arts. Some would say the voice of violence.
How are you, man?
Fantastic, considering I just braved a blizzard. Like, yeah. I literally fought off a blizzard in Carteret, New Jersey, and finally sort of Mount Everest my way back to Tribeca.
So if people don't know, Jason right now has like 19 jobs. He's an MMA coach. He's a comedian. He's a podcast host. And his girlfriend runs like the biggest Hello Kitty factory in the world. Like, and I didn't even realize this, a huge store. And he's like, so Jason tells me, hey, by the way, I'm now, they made me the CEO of Hello Kitty. My wife's like, how does he get out of jail? This is my dream job. So we drive over there. I think he's going to start handing me boxes of like toys in the back. It's a legitimate, like, insane thing, and Jason is in charge. So like,
no, my lady is in charge, right? Please, let's make that a minor partner, actually head of marketing,
right?
So his lady, right, I think I'm doing my job here by dissuading the narrative that I'm the CEO. Everybody, you're not the only Jewish comic to hit me with that. Big J Okerson's like, this guy owns a Hello Kitty store. Wait, that was a terrible accent, but you get it. What else, bro?
So we go to the store. We go to the store, and you know, obviously, Jason, even when he's trying to be like sweet and nice, is still like an intimidating guy. He's just a big guy with a deep voice. So you have these like, I never saw a more like timid Asian couple looking for Hello Kitty stuff, and Jason's like, you guys like Hello Kitty?
The thing that I said is, what is your favorite character? Right. They did say Hello Kitty, but the question you ask is, what is your favorite character? You might have heard it in my voice. Oh, you love Hello Kitty?
So if they only knew, this guy is the same guy that like kicked Jacare in the face, started multiple brawls on television, Strikeforce banned from TV.
CBS, no Paramount deal with Mayhem. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think they're kind of smarting from that still.
But I love it. So we have a lot to catch up on. All right, so first of all, the jiu-jitsu match. Did you see the thing, the guy with no legs? It was a couple weeks ago. Take on Johnny Walker.
Listen, brother. Is that on his birth certificate? Guy with no legs.
Zion Clark. Did you watch it? The actual jiu-jitsu match.
I saw the highlights. I thought I got a lot out of it. You know what I mean? I thought both competitors really stepped up.
Well, if you missed it, so basically the other guy was, I mean, not only did he have legs versus the other guy, but he also was like 120 pounds heavier.
His name was Walker.
And his name was Walker. And it was on Karate Combat, and there was no karate. Like, the whole thing
I could think of a couple of moves that me and Zion could work out. You know what I mean? I'm thinking I need to train with a sack of potatoes, you know what I mean, for a while.
Yeah.
On the front of my gut. And I feel like I could do the footwork for him.
man.
Why somebody else socks him up, you know? I don't know who's brave enough besides me to do this job, but I think I had to train for it. And honestly, it was a great effort. I can't believe this man. He is an inspiration. Like, not quit, not stopping using his natural gifts to walk on his hands to make the one of the best entrances ever.
So at the same time,
you know what? They're going to have to change the category. Remember I won the MMA award for best walkout?
Yes. Yeah. No, Jason, you're right. But at a certain point, I mean, this guy's obviously three times as big. He's in the UFC.
You think that scared Zion? Zion is an expert grappler, bro. It's not MMA. This is grappling, bro. This guy is all fucking heart and arms.
And the thing is, the guy's known for heel hooks. He went for a heel hook,
right?
Saw that.
Face crying kid.
And then it just got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's really hard to escape the hooks when you ain't got no hooks to escape. You get me? You know, I'm telling you, this just
big squeeze, Volta Walker.
Got him.
And now let me see somebody in his weight class like some fourth graders.
So Johnny Walker, who's the brother, was not happy with this. Did you see what happened? What he said?
I didn't see exactly what he said, but yeah, I did notice that he was fired up about this. I had his own brother. Is he really gonna disown his own brother over choking out? I don't even know what to call this man.
So he says
what's the respectful term for a lump? Or
he goes, he doesn't deserve to use my name. He's not a walker. I'm very sad. I said it for my family.
He's talking about Zion?
No, he's talking about his brother.
He disowned him. He said he's not a walker.
He want me to leave my wife pregnant at home after he said bad shit about her online to come and support him to fight a disabled man. Ashamed, very ashamed. I take my name out of yours. I'm ashamed.
Yeah, but this is demeaning. Look, I'm going to just stop right. I don't give a shit what he says. You know, it's like, bro, like Zion signed up for that. Yeah. Zion had faith in himself, and Zion deserves some respect for standing across from that man.
He goes on, he says, I'm ashamed. Fight someone your size. You are shameful. This is why I did not come to his fight. It wasn't a fight.
Bro, how are you going to find three Zions to stack on top of each other? Bro, you just can't do it. Maybe in a third world country such as India, somewhere where they have bad water.
That's part of the problem when you have a guy who's so good that it's not fair for him to compete in the Special Olympics. You know, like the guy that was that had like Anthony Robles, who had one leg, who won the NCAA champion. Because other people would say, oh, well, he should compete against guys with one leg, or he should compete against guys with special needs. But this dude would just wreck those guys. So it's sort of a tough.
Why is everybody trying to make everything fair? Nothing is fair.
Nothing,
you know?
Life is fair.
And why is everything so serious? Was there betting lines on this? Was Zion a 7,000-point underdog? Like, what is going on here, B?
Is there betting lines?
Buddy, I'm not trying to denigrate the name of a small man. I don't know what the hell to call him. Not even small. He's a big jack dude, no legs. You know, I can't talk smack about him. Because I really respect that he actually 1,000%. Yeah.
1,000%.
I can make fun of the fact that this young fool ain't got no legs, man. I can't get over it. You know what I mean? I'll be over it like 3 days training. I'd be over it, and I'd figure out how to tap him out eventually.
No, and his parents raised him right, because there's a lot of people out there that have a lot less, and they make themselves victims. And this dude is not a victim, almost to the point where you almost wish he'd be more.
Yeah. Hey, bro, hang back and like buy a stroller, bro. It's dirty out here. Get some gloves. I'll push you around. Honestly, I'm thinking of like a crane type situation.
So moving on, Sean Strickland last week put on a hell of a performance. Leading up to the fight, did you watch all the interviews and stuff?
I watched. Well, you know, look, man. Let me tell you right here, bud. What does he say? He says some famous thing. He's like, listen up or some shit.
I mean, my thoughts about him are like, I think it's a combination of, number one, he's unfiltered. Number two, he doesn't give a shit. Number two, this is like his brand, is to sort of be a shock. And number four, there's weight cutting involved. And I know, even though from like wrestling, when you're cutting weight, you're in a fucking bad mood. You don't feel like answering questions.
No, but what are you talking about? After you whooped old Fluffy, he was still in a bad mood. Hey, that's a very Scotch-Irish thing to do.
But he was nicer. He was a lot nicer and like respectful.
Relieved. The
he
word was, you're looking was, for is relieved.
Now, look, I don't agree with the things he says. Like, and not even just saying that in like...
Everything he says.
No, I mean, there's a lot of
everything.
Stuff.
Everything he says, completely agree with.
No,
I just
you do
want
not.
To go on record.
There's no way. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of it...
I agree with Sean's right to say it.
Yes.
Look,
yes.
And Bryce Mitchell, too. You have a right in America to be retarded.
Right. You're right. You know, but as far as, like, him, everything is so gay and everything is gay. I mean, you know what, though?
To me, that speaks more to his proclivities, like what he's focused on. You know, that makes him angry real bad. Like, all right.
You know what? I think also a lot of people are saying similar things, but they're just saying it a lot better language, you know?
It's some type of Alpo type sound instrument.
No, I'm saying a lot of times people are like, well, you know, the demasculization of the American male is because of the feminized...
Feminism?
Yeah, and all that.
It's an interesting theory.
There's like scholars saying that. And basically what he's saying is, well, you got Bad Bunny and you got a guy with a fucking dress on and you took it away the NFL. So there's probably like just... But then he's saying the F word 19 times.
Am I the only one realizing that this ebbs and flows like every... 8 years. Am I old now? Because, buddy, this happened so many times. It's over and over again. Prince to the new power generation wearing blouses to the club. So it's like, we get it. It ebbs and flows. What happens is American culture gets super masculine and then gets a little twinky. And we're just going into the future.
Right.
That, yeah, ebbs and flows. And look, eventually everybody's going to figure out that sex is just one funny joke that God played on us.
But then Dana White says, which I, you know what, Dana had a point. He's like literally people were asking him about Nancy Guthrie. People are saying, what do you think?
No, they want it.
They were
stoking it.
They're asking him about, what do you think of the missing mother in Arizona? It's like, what does this have to do with
that? If geniuses like that can figure out rage bait, then, you know what I mean? The rest of us should be fine. We should figure it out, too. That, yeah, there is a big troll. It's one big long. And then, oh my God, can you believe what he said? Well, what did you ask him? Well, I knew he would say something crazy. I didn't know it was that.
Right. But I do think in that fight, he got into Fluffy's head. Because
100%.
His whole thing was like, I'm the real Mexican fighter. This guy's boring. He's a wrestler. And did Fluffy go for one takedown?
But listen, okay, so now you're wandering into my area of expertise. You're the talky-talk guy on the TV show. So I'm the guy who's like, okay, that footwork was like, what are you going to do, Fluffy? I'm off to the side. Oh, you know how I like to teep kick? Yeah, I'm doing that. But then I'm stepping to the side and 2-3-2. Eric Nixick deserves some on the fly. Well, I would have loved to hear what Eric Nixick said the rest of the time, but the first 10 seconds came through after Yellowstone, next up on CBS. And then, you know what I mean? A constant stream. I literally caught autism from that broadcast. Like, my brain is fried.
But do you think Fluffy got taken out of his game plan?
Of course. I mean, look, if I'm Fluffy's coaches, what are we going to do? Box the guy? Definitely not. Kickbox the guy? Definitely not. Get him down and wear him out? Yes, please. Wear him out because, hey, like it or not, Sean's getting older and he can't fight as hard as he can for that long, but never got to see that. Never. I bet you it would have been a much tougher fight for Sean had it been of some ground stuff, at least. Because Fluffy is one of them drag you down to deep waters, guys.
I know, and I was waiting for that. I
be
was
durable.
Like,
but I think you cannot. Excellent game plan. Excellent game plan. Improved footwork, arm strength, dude, conditioning. He showcased that he could do that. The Sean technique, the Sean, I guess, not even strategy, Sean Strickland strategy.
Yep.
And he did it harder than normal.
Now, he's calling out Chimaev. How do you think he does against Chimaev?
Oh, this is a different fight because Chimaev definitely will make it sometime a ground fight. But I think Sean, with proper conditioning, independent of his political stance, this man is an excellent fighter.
Yeah.
Excellent fighter. Hey, and maybe that political stance helps him. Like, he has a burning fire within him that has to kind of point his hate in a certain direction. He has to be, like, focused. He's a soldier in his own army. So he has to, like, focus that into the opponent.
Well, he also likes being the center of attention. I mean, obviously, because he's tweeting about everything. He likes having his opinion known. And I think that eventually, if you keep losing, people stop caring. You know, Colby Covington, you know, when he was winning, it seemed like a lot more people were in tune with what he had to say. But if you don't win, you know, a lot of your fan base is going to leave. It's just,
obviously that, but also, you know, a lot of things he's saying resonate with a lot of people, Colby, as well as Sean, you know, at least half the country, it seems like. So,
I think there's a lot of people that agree with some of the things Sean says. And then when he just starts going overboard a little bit, it's like, you know, I think women, you know, they should be in the kitchen. And they, why do we give them a right to vote? And, you know, like that kind of stuff. I think people are just like, all right, dude. Like, you know,
all right, dude.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think women, he's like, why are we letting them fight? Like his whole thing with Gina and Rhonda was like, you know, look, no one wants to see this fight. He's like, these two girls, Gina always sucked. He goes,
I want to see this fight.
Rhonda's a weirdo.
Completely wrong that no one wants to see it. That's pretty funny. I'm excited about it, to be honest.
Are you really?
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean,
what do you mean? Well, let me ask you this. Do you remember back in the day when women fights were first happening?
Yes.
And I do. Like when it was first started, like King of the Cage had some, and it was like there wasn't a lot of women fighters. Debbie Purcell, remember her? And there were some fights back in the day where the women fought, bro, the card would benefit from a woman fight because they would fight so hard.
Right,
because
it was like
throw in a little
like,
bit.
It was almost in, like one of those amateur
calm
fights.
Down, yeah. Calm down. Throw down a little bit of mom strength from Ronda Rousey. That's a thing, dude.
She's got three kids.
Buddy, I'm saying, look, there's some type of superpower that's gleaned from Mama Bear and her cubs. So it's interesting to me because I don't think it will be the most beautiful fight, but it will be like a barn burner where Gina might have to get her arm ripped off to survive.
Well, here's what I think. I think that the fight's a lot more competitive now than it would have been when Ronda was on top, because I think that there was a time when Ronda was looking almost invincible and people were saying, oh, she could beat guys and she could beat dudes. She was steamrolling everybody.
One guy saying that.
It was Joe Rogan saying it, but it was a guy
for UFC. What the hell is he going to say, bro?
Right. But there was a time when Ronda was looking insanely good
Hey, let me tell you, hey, that statement coincided when like Moon Rocks came out, like super condensed weed. So I think that old Joe Rogan was on another planet back then.
But then Ronda got exposed. I mean, her striking got exposed, like it or not, you know.
Exposed to who? To like knuckleheads who don't know how to box. Like, I was like watching her hit the pads, and I was like,
today?
Oh man. And then I was watching her kickbox, and I was like, oh.
Did you see now? Did you see today's her hitting the pads today?
No, I haven't seen it lately. Go ahead and show me.
Well, this just came out. And you know, there's a part of me that wants to play Sean Strickland's interviews right now, but I'm like, we'll be here all week.
I mean, this guy gets plenty of press, bro. Yeah. You don't need our help.
So now, Jason, what do you know? All right, so Jason, first of all, they're playing Cotton Eye Joe in the background, which is annoying. But I actually want to hear your thoughts on this, that rather than Cotton Eye Joe.
I finally found what I was looking for. Sorry, man.
It's okay. Thank you for doing the show, Jason. What do you think? What do you think about Ronda's striking right now?
Let me see it. Yeah, you know, it's hard to tell from this video, but it looks improved slightly. I gotta say, it looks a bit. This right hand is, I don't know. I feel like I can clean her up. Yeah, it's not tremendous, but like I said, she's a world-class grappler. Like, I hope that she's working on some trips and some throws, and because Gina is not a fantastic wrestler. I think we remember that.
But and, I mean, do you think that she's not committing and that's why it looks a little awkward, or that,
well,
their arm punches, or like, what exactly are you
saying? I think this is a go ahead and take it down, man. This is an experience that I've had a lot with very strong athletes who developed muscle in a certain way, such as judo. And what happens is they stiffen up and they're not, you know, she doesn't turn her punch over very much, because in judo, you keep your core locked real tight so that you can, you know, leverage them over the top of your knee or trip them. Or so she's pretty stiff in this respect, and nobody has really corrected this, it looks like. I don't know. I don't want to talk bad on her striking. This is just hitting pads, too.
I'll tell you what, though. I am so happy to not see her with Edmund, because that guy, her...
Edmund was her former boxing coach. So yeah. Also, this man, through no fault of his own, may have kind of trained her wrong for her style. He was teaching her to be like Armenian boxer.
Yeah.
Like, those guys have the specific style, and it's also like a rigid upper body. I work with some of those guys, and yeah, for MMA, that's not a really great boxing style, or it's been proven to not be the greatest boxing style, because like you said, with this hand drop, Holly Holm took advantage of it and really made a memorable knockout.
But he was also telling her that she could be an Olympic boxer. And
that could be true. That could be true, right? And my aunt, you know.
But, I mean, you have to be honest with certain people. I mean, especially people you're coaching. That's what I never understood about.
How do you be honest with somebody who's paying you, like, you're getting paid
That's
so much money?
That's what I never
money.
Understood. When
this
I had,
guy had,
I had,
this guy had a very...
When I had Ben Askren on the show, right? And I said, CM Punk, okay? Every single person at that gym would tell me, like, off the record, dude, he's getting beat by girls. He hasn't won a round. There's not one round of sparring. And to the point where one of his coaches, I texted him, how's he going to do tonight against whatever that kid's name was that he lost too quick. And they wrote, not good. So everyone knows this guy's going to get the shit beaten out of him. They're all making money. But at a certain point.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can't. What are you going to do? You're going to make them to a super soldier overnight? You got some serum?
But like my child, right? If my child said to me, Daddy, I want to try out for the Olympic gymnastics team tomorrow. I would say, honey, you're not ready. Like, I'm sorry. I love
what do you mean? Is she getting paid $1 million to go in there and flop on her ass with a ribbon? Then get her in there, bro. Are you kidding me? Bro, if she's going to get $1.2 million from McDonald's sponsorship, we're putting her in there.
Well, you would tell one of your fighters they were ready if they weren't clearly not ready?
Yeah, fuck off. Like, you are ready because you're a maniac and you're a psycho and you're ready to fight. And they gave you the contract. So they think you're ready. So go do it. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do if you're a fighter? And like, bro, I've walked into certain death plenty of times. Whoops. Like, I know that this damn training camp went terrible. I'm sick. I hurt my back. blah, blah, blah.
Your
so
jiu-jitsu is world. You have world-class jiu-jitsu.
No, but when I...
There's
that's
always
fine.
You always had something that could bail you out, though. There was always something
you're
that...
You're talking about one
ground.
Night. One night. Yeah, but one night I could be sick and tired and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And nobody cares about that part of the story. So you just have to do the best you can. Who's going to tell you you're not ready? I'm not ready to make 20% of your money.
I know, but I just
who's going to say that?
I feel like a certain people. I don't know. There's a certain part of me that just says, look.
Well, absolutely.
If you know someone,
hey, absolutely. You're right. You're right. You're right. In retrospect, maybe my management could have had the balls to go, hey, Mayhem, don't hang this one back. Like, don't do it. Like,
yeah, but I also know you.
But,
I mean, you're different than
the UFC.
CM Punk had no skills.
No, listen to me. You asked me a question. The UFC says, oh, if you're going to drop out, we're going to sit you down for another year. So what are you supposed to do? You got a mortgage to pay? You got a fucking car? You got 16 girlfriends? Like, how are you going to do that? So, right? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to fight.
I understand your point, but I think CM Punk made enough money in the WWE at that point. I don't think he needed the money. He was doing it for the love of the game. And at a certain point, it was like delusion, and he was delusional. And the UFC, and that was, to me, one of the beginnings of okay, this is not really a fair sport.
Game time. NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game, okay? You get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, you browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events, all right? They have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price, to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you're not like stuck behind a goalpost or you're sitting in the parking lot, whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. All right, go to Game Time Picks. All right, they make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
This is not a fair sport because you could throw the number 4 guy in there. You could throw the number 8 guy for a title shot. You could throw the 11 guy at a title shot. But you can't tell me these are the best fighters in the world and you're letting a guy skip the amateurs, skip the this, skip that, and just go right into a main card on a pay-per-view.
Like, it's entertainment, bro. At the end of the day, fight sport is entertainment. And that's why Conor McGregor broke out after I had already played this weird game. Because I made a bunch of money outside the UFC by being an entertainer and a good fighter. You need both. You need both. You have to have, like, the skills to get everyone to remember your name. And then you have to have some damn pizzazz to get everybody to watch you fight.
But in other sports, football, baseball, basketball, even boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, hockey, they're not letting anyone because they have all these followers make the team. It doesn't matter. They're not letting CM Punk.
Well, that's not true whatsoever, because Jake Paul has reinvented boxing, in which there's another league.
Yeah, but he's still not. Yeah, but he's not ranked. He's not ranked.
Yeah, but who cares?
All right, boxing's the one. Boxing is the one sport where I'm like, okay. Okay, yeah, boxing and Anthony Joshua, and he got a thing. You're right.
Yeah, but mixed martial arts.
I totally concede that. But
I taught the kids martial arts 20 years ago with Bully Beatdown, okay? So they know martial arts now. I could see another league opening up of more charismatic people, celebrity types that are fighting at a high level, because people have been training since they were kids now and could actually put some effort into it and be like, you know, superstars. It's a new era now. That Paramount deal just made, bro. I mean, there's not enough Viagra in the world to get me up for that.
Well, like, Paramount, you know, all I don't those like ads. It. What I don't like about that is they have to play the ads, right? And then before
they were skipping, they were skipping for it.
They were skipping the walkouts though. Before they were not doing the walkouts, and people were like, "Fuck that!" Now they're not doing the post fight interviews because they have to figure out. All right, somebody's here now. It's funny, like. Literally, this podcast is an hour and 45 minutes. I don't even know if this is Don or Bill. But so, all right, Ronda Rousey, by the way. And this is what I think. I don't understand this because Ronda's got a fight. She even said that, like, she came back to the UFC, offered it to Dana. Dana wanted nothing to do with it. And basically, she's saying that because of the Paramount deal, the UFC, they don't make the best fights anymore, right? That's what she says. And, you know, maybe she has a point, but... Also, why would they sign Gina Carano, who's not hasn't fought in 15 years? Like, why would they want? They're not, you know, so it's like if they're gonna bring back Ronda Rousey, she was a champion for very long. She lost two fights. You could 100% say Ronda Rousey is back in the UFC. Gina Carano is kind of a stretch.
Gina Carano is like a big question mark because I don't recall her career details so much. As her beautiful face, you know what I mean?
She had some good fights, and then she fought Cyborg and got
mollywopped
by Cyborg, which, by the way, who wouldn't get mollywopped by Cyborg? Dude, I mean, that's...
Bro, I think maybe she could take my ass these days. Jesus Christ.
By the way, there was a fight I wanted to ask you. Somebody fought... Fuck, there was a story that I heard that I was like, I gotta hear Mayhem's fucking... You were on the undercard of... Was it like a strike force? Who was the main event? And there was like a fight. There was like a fight in the locker room, and you were behind. And I'm like, I gotta ask fucking Jason about this. What were like the three biggest events you were a part of?
Who was he fighting?
Fedor Arlovsky? Was it Fedor Tim Sylvia? What was that like, though, being in the back with Fedor?
Mellow.
I mean, was it like just Russian mob everywhere? Like, was it like, or what was he like?
Nice.
You're not going to answer the question. Oh, that you're so funny. You have the best comedic timing. All right. So, fucking Ronda Rousey. This is what I don't understand, right? So they ask her why she's fighting Gina Carano. And I asked a couple women, and they think she did this on purpose. This does not seem like something that...
Wait, prepare me for this. Am I about to see some Ronda boobs?
This is Ronda Rousey saying that she's fighting Gina Carano because she watched a video of Gina, and Gina was so fat that she was like, I got to help this girl out. And that's why she signed to fight her. But the thing is, I think she's being, in her mind, she's being nice. Like, I don't think she's saying it. Like, all right, so I want to play this for you, Jason, because I'm like, this is crazy.
I saw a video of Gina Carano giving an interview, and she didn't look good. She gained, like, an unhealthy amount of weight. And my first thought was like, oh, my God. What can I do? What can I do to help? And the reason why I had that thought was because she's the one woman, not only in MMA that doesn't owe me a damn thing, but that I owe immensely. And I'm always trying to look out of what I could do for her.
I mean, did she really have to say the first part of like, what, like, is this
little? She's a big back. Get out of here, you big back. He's like, hey, Big Mac, you want to fight, make it down to one fucking fatty five?
Like, is this can't, I thought it was AI.
That's so mean, bro. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, dude. We always forget. And before UFC champion, this woman was Olympic, right? What? Yeah. Champ, right?
No, she took fifth.
Shit, not bad, but still, to get to the Olympics
Oh,
in
yeah.
judo, you have to be a mean person.
And her mom was a world champ. Her mom,
That's what I mean.
me and her mom are friends. She hates me, by the way. She told me she hated me. Told me to go
Good,
fuck. Told me to go fuck myself.
good.
And I
Bro,
was.
you really are not likable, bro.
Well,
You
no,
really
listen.
aren't.
Thank you, Jason. First of all, I was always nice to Ronda Rousey. Always nice to her. I had her best friend was my podcast host. I got her cousins used to reach out to me for tickets to her
Well,
fight.
that's what I'm saying. When you're really close to someone, they could turn on you. You know what I
I would
mean?
give her cousins tickets to fights. They wouldn't even go to her. Like, I was giving her cousins tickets. Like, her mom reached out to me a couple times for like advice on how to deal with like parenting and this and that. Her sisters come to my comedy shows. She like
Well,
I
that's the whole, see, you said it right there, bro. You told her mom to ground her, and she did. And now
I
she
love her
hates
mom.
you.
Her mom is cool as shit, but her mom would wake her up in the morning while she was sleeping with like arm bars and be like, always be ready. Her mom is fucking kind of like, she's no nonsense. Great coach, great person. Rhonda hates me. Rhonda told off a lot of people. I'm one of,
But
I've always
why?
been.
But why does she hate you? You're not taking any ownership of this. You're just saying
She said
she
I talk
hates
shit
you.
about, she said I talk shit about her husband, I think, Travis Brown. But all I said was like,
Bro, is
her and
MMA roasted, lady? What?
well, her and her husband said that she on the TMZ says that like they have anal sex, right? And then I said all of a sudden, like, oh, well, I guess he can't walk for 2 weeks. It was something silly. Like, it wasn't even like give me a fucking break.
You hit a little too
And
close to home, I think.
she's her
So
family owns Caesar Palace in Webble Oil. Like, there's nothing I could really do for her, except for when I was in a similar spot when I was, depressed and gave up on the world and inadvertently gave up on myself. What I needed was a goal and
wait, first of all, what do you mean she gave up on the world? She gained a little weight. That's not saying Gina gave up on the world. Depressed.
No, bro. If I remember at the time, Gina couldn't even fit in her Star Trooper outfit.
Come on. She got fired for like bullshit. She got fired for nothing. It was a big quote.
And then she ate her way up to Jabba the Hutt.
No, she did not eat her way. Oh,
Something
you're
to
making
me
this
got
shit
my
worse.
attention again. And
But
I
I'm
always
gonna tell
said
you
that
what.
Gina is the one person. I mean,
I'm gonna tell you what. I
She got
think I
pretty
might have had a
damn
shot at
large.
Gina Carano.
She got pretty damn large, Adams.
Bro, I'm telling you, bro, she was circling the drain. Hey, Don, I think I could have slipped in there at that one point.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
But for her to say, I'm fighting her because I was watching TV and she was fat. And I'm like, I gotta help this person. You're also getting a fucking $5 million. She's getting $5 million or whatever the fuck they're getting. You're on the undercard of Jake Paul. It's on Netflix. Like, you're not doing this because you could have just like sent her a trainer or like, hey, here's
Hey,
like a
wait,
diet
wait,
or something.
wait. You're trying to get her Rhonda to send somebody to teach her how to box wrong?
Dude, this is no, like a lose weight trainer. This is bullshit. You know what? This is like I saw her and I was like, oh, she's a fat fuck. She's miserable. I gotta help her out. I'm gonna fight her and inspire her. But I think she might actually believe that though.
No,
Like,
honestly,
I'm sure
dude,
she
I
does.
just,
See, they're all
yeah.
nuts. They're all fucking nuts. They can fucking get themselves to believe anything.
Like, get
Fuck.
I mean, Don, how, I mean, do you think it's nice or like that she says the reason she's fighting Gina Carano is because she saw her on TV and she was fat and said, I gotta help her? Like, why would Gina want to hear that?
Motivation, baby. Motivation. You know what I mean? Plus, she's getting $5 million for more food.
Oh my
That's
God.
why I'd like to
And
announce
a
right
new
now.
wardrobe. And a new wardrobe, which she probably needs. Unless
I'd
she's going
like
to
to
burn it
announce
close to
I just
Mania.
signed to fight Don Fry in the World Fat Fuck Championship. We're both going
That's
to get eat our way up to 290 pounds.
I
And
mean,
then
slug it out for a half a minute.
we'll put on a sumo fucking suit and fucking slug it
I
out.
mean, this is she didn't have to say. I
Yeah,
mean,
she
this
did.
is so funny. I mean, it is hilarious. I mean, I don't know. Do you think Rhonda's doing this to be the bad girl, or she's actually believes this?
She's good. She's
a heel. She's a heel. She's throwing shit, man.
Okay. All right. So
that's such a very clever, like,
it's pro wrestling.
Like, man, could you see, like, Sean Strickland, like, saying, like, GDP was a fat fuck, and I decided to get him to fight me. Like, what? No. No, we don't play games like that, right? Like, Sean Strickland was like, Fluffy, you know, you're a great guy, but I'm the real Mexican. He did it that way. But Ronda, yeah, like, got into her soul, bro. Like, really, like, now Ronda, now, because I'll tell you what, I never tried to get with Gina. She was training in Vegas, was beautiful. And I was like, oh, I respect her as a training partner. But really, she, like, seemed like my sister. So I was like, ah, I had no attraction to her. We're too closely related, I think. So, you know, she's like a beast. Like, my people are kind of fluffy and beastly, you know?
Yeah, her nickname, her nickname is a two-ton Gina, you know? So.
Oh, my God. Well, considering your real sister put you in a headlock, or you put her in a headlock and got arrested.
She whooped me. She whooped me. What do you mean? She won that fight for sure. God dang.
So are you guys following the Dan Hooker situation?
I mean, as much as I can between bouts of beating off.
So, oh, by the way, Sean Strickland in one of his interviews saying, they're like, what do you think of the fight? He's like, you know, Gina was never good. No one cares about women's MMA. Maybe if they're fighting in oil, I'm going to throw dollar bills. And I used to jerk off to Gina Carano. That that was his take on the fight.
Solid. Like I said, agree with everything he says.
Yeah, the thing is, Gina Carano outweighs Sean Strickland. So, I mean, he better watch his fucking mouth because she'll fucking put a knot on his head.
Dude, she looks good now. She actually looks fucking good. She actually looks good. So Dan Hooker's ex-side chick, a girl that he was cheating on, who was a stripper. She's a stripper, says that basically she was cheating on... Dan was really into OnlyFans girls, into save a hoe. Now he cheated on her with a guy and other girls. So then the internet went crazy, making all these like Dan Hooker memes. In fact, one of the guys that, like, I forgot the guy's name who made a sex tape, some guy that was blue, some guy. There's a guy who got kicked out for like the gambling situation.
You're telling me that, wait, what? Who is this we're talking about? Dan Hooker?
Yeah.
Is getting roasted by the Island Boys?
No, there was a guy, him too, but there was a fighter. I forgot the guy's name. He was really good, and he was involved with the whole betting scandal, and they kicked him out of the UFC, and then a video came out of him blowing a guy. So then he's posting about it, like, Dan, me and you are friends. So it's like, everyone's
what
posting.
What is it about putting a man's penis in your mouth that it just makes you want to video it? You know what I mean? Why are these boys just running wild?
That's beyond friendship, man. That's beyond friendship.
Hey, content creation has gone wild these days.
So Dan writes, Dan goes, what the, no shit, I'm gay now. And then smiley emojis. And then he said, nothing like a woman scorned. So that's with that. Look, if you're a side chick, you can't get mad at someone cheating on you. Like that's, if you're already the side chick, like, come on. Like, did you explain?
You're going to talk logic to a whore? Come on. A fucking whore's a whore.
Mayhem, have you ever had a side chick get mad at you for not being famous?
Dude, listen, bro. My side dude is pissed I'm doing this fuck MMA roasted right now. He's sick of this. He's like, we never get new subscribers. He's been on
We do. We do have new subscribers. The last one, we got like triple the what we got. I don't know if it was us or the chick that hypnotized us, but it actually did. We did really good that
night. Great to hear.
So Jason.
Can you get that chair off your ass now?
So Jason Mayhem Miller. So Andrew Tate wrote, women don't love you. They love the money you give them.
Yep,
stop paying the bills and see how fast love evaporates.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
To which Mayhem wrote, you are literally retarded. Back when I surrounded myself with hookers, I thought the same way you do. Once you find out there are women smarter than you are, you will discover you've been selling snake oil. But you know that already.
Bro, it sounds whack when you say it. I appreciate it. Man, that's like really flexing on my damn 12th grade sentence structure. I appreciate that, bro.
Jason, do you want to follow up on this Andrew Tate thing?
I said the whole thing. This guy is surrounded by like those Dan Hooker side chicks, and he's thinking that all women are like that, and just like the left, just like the level that Dawn never got off of. Dawn only exclusively dated and married those women, so now he's really pissed at it.
Dawn, you got a beautiful girlfriend right now who takes care of you.
I know.
Takes care of you when you're sick, when you're in the hospital, fucking lives for you. What are you talking about, Dawn?
Yeah, that's true. I do. She's a pain in the ass, though. Yeah.
see, he can't even look. I get it, Don. I'm with you, bro, because I've been traumatized by women so badly. And I totally agree that there are women out there that exactly do that. That whole thing, I know, lost everything because somebody is so selfish that she can justify taking everything you earn. She can do it in her head.
That's
some gymnastics, backflips, side flips. But as I've gotten like into the later years of my life, hopefully not the end, I've like noticed that if I'm putting out some positivity and trying to be very full of integrity, what happens is I've attracted a woman into my life that is, man, very helpful. And yeah, could probably take everything that I own. Yeah, probably. But that being said, I have a different view on it now. It's not the same as it once was. If somebody is interested in being moral and having integrity, I think that it's a good partnership.
Of course.
I know you've had bad experiences. It's really hard to shake those off, man. It really is. It's easy to slip in because I have a lot of, like, I could be as hateful as old Sean Strickland if I'm not careful. I could point my hate every direction and be, but if I focus it into some positive things, my life has flourished suddenly.
I love that.
So, but women are cool. I'm trying to teach young men to be friends with women again. Remember, this is nothing new either. Tom Likas pulled this D'Andrew Tate bologna sandwiches years ago, and I bit into it hook, line, and sinker, and stupid-ass sinker, bro. I ate it all and ended up just going, yeah, my money will get me these women, and no matter what, they're going to keep hanging out. Dude, you're just catching dependence. You're adopting fatherless, broken weirdos.
But I also meet a lot of guys that, like, the girls are with them when they're broke, when they're fucking this, that, and then they make it, and then they're like, and they're like, later.
This is an unfortunate side effect of our capitalistic culture.
And a lot of times,
you never met one of those.
Yeah, right. I met too many of those guys. And I'm like, but, you know, that's why I think it's important to get laid at every point in your life. Because you can see these guys that they work so hard and they have no social skills and they finally make it and they don't know how to deal with the success. And they just end up fucking blowing it. Now, Mike Tyson is fighting Floyd Mayweather in the Congo. I don't know.
As is tradition. I feel like they do this every year.
It's going to be an over. And then also, then Mayweather is fighting Pacquiao. So people were saying Mayweather.
So let me get this straight. 2026, Floyd Mayweather's plan, clearly, to pay baby mamas and like his house note and the IRS, all right, is to walk over Mike Tyson and then fight Manny Pacquiao. Buddy, I don't know how he has such good footwork with the size of his nuts.
I think Pacquiao's going to beat him, though. Like,
I think Pacquiao might whoop that ass, especially after old Iron Mike gave him a couple of shots to the body.
Well, I mean, Pacquiao fought the guy that, what's his name, looked good against last week. Everyone was about Garcia. Everyone's saying, oh, look how good Garcia looks. But that guy, like, won a split decision over Pacquiao, like, a year ago. So Pacquiao's still fighting at a very high level, and it doesn't seem like Mayweather is. He seems like he's taking years and years off, which kind of sucks.
Yo, bro, black don't crack, though. This guy is a very talented boxer, like third-generation boxer, sort of a rapid fight. He might show up, like turn it up for Pacquiao, because that's the one that we're always like, oh, Floyd, you tap danced away from Manny until he was too old. And meanwhile, Manny is on like the super secret soldier serum on some next level, right? You know, a Filipino martial arts type shit, you know, maybe drinking some juice out of those fucking durians. you get me?
Yeah.
he's something else, really is at this age.
So, all right. So Rampage was asked about the Ronda Rousey fight, and Rampage answered it like only Rampage could. All right, here we go.
Hey, Rampage, who do you think will win between Gina Carano and Ronda Rousey this coming May?
I'm a Gina Carano fan, so I'm never going to kiss her. I've never really been a fan of Ronda, got nothing against her. I don't like her husband at all. He trained my dog, and my dog came back stupid, more stupid. Come on. So, and he had my dog for like 6 months.
All right, so a lot of questions in this interview. First of all, why did he have his dog for 6 months? Why was he training his dog? And why did his dog come back stupider? Jason, you know Rampage pretty well. What
happened? I know dog training. I mean, yeah, you do take a dog for a while to get him to train him. But yeah, dude. To bring back the dog stupid, I just can't imagine, right? Because the reason that Ronda's sensitive about weight is because old Travis is enormous.
Yeah.
So I bet that dog is just sitting there eating fucking peanut butter, you know?
But why did he give him? Why did he give him his dog for 6 months? Like, 6 months is a long time to give someone your dog. Well, but is he even a dog trainer? Like, is Travis Brown know anything about dogs? Like this.
Listen, I would imagine that he fashioned himself a dog trainer and then apparently failed that test.
Oh, God. I mean, there's a lot of... All right, so this guy, Josh Hokit, he's the guy that... we never played his victory one. He was the one the first time he won his fight on The Contender. He said he wants to take away all the sex traffickers and transgenders. And he dresses like the Macho Man. And then his last fight, this was even like, even he basically went off. He had like six different poems. And then he also said that for some reason, Brittany Griner's a man. He said this in the middle of the octagon. People weren't really sure what Brittany Griner had to do with any of it.
Wait, what's this guy's name?
Josh Hokit.
Hokit?
Hokit.
Oh my God, bro. That is going to be the sweetest poster. Hokit Strickland 28?
Well, he's fighting Curtis Blaydes next. And... Yep. That's going to be a tough fight for him because the guys he's beaten so far are not even near as good as Curtis Blaydes, who's fought for the title.
Saying they need to run for president.
Got it. What do you think of this fight? Curtis Blaydes, Blaydes Hokit. What do you think, Jason?
Dude, I don't watch this guy fight. He has not made it onto my radar. This moron is jumping around like an idiot, beating up chumps because he's saying what Dana likes to hear. Like, I don't know him yet. Yeah, I don't care. Like, I'm glad he's making himself a Macho Man ripoff. I'm sure the estate of Randy would be happy to sue him about it. And it's not even funny yet. Like, come on. Yeah, bro, polish up his act and get back to me in about two more fights.
I disagree. I find the fact that it's so ridiculous. Like you said, it's like if ChatGPT, you put it in, like, it's basically, but it's so ridiculous. I find it entertaining. I'm sorry.
Listen, you once came to my purple pineapple pool party with a bunch of hot chicks there and everything, and then took over my DJ booth and put "My Girl Likes to Party All the Time, Party." And you thought that was awesome. You thought it was great. And everybody was like, boo.
Done. Meanwhile, here. This guy comes out butt naked with a dog, a wiener dog, in front of his actual wiener.
It's my purple pineapple pool party, bro. Get with it.
So this week in Real American Freestyle Wrestling 6 at the Mullet Arena in Tempe, Arizona. Don, you should be there. Please go there, Don. It's this Saturday night, or it's February 28th. I think it's Saturday. It's Henry Cejudo versus Uriah Faber in a wrestling match, a freestyle wrestling match. Cejudo should win this, but I don't know. Then it's that guy, you know, that guy that has the take me down for 100.
Yes, Georgie.
Have you grappled with that guy?
I have. He's an excellent wrestler. I really am excited to see him against Armand. I think that I offered some advice to him, and I hope that he gives Armand a nice match.
He has an amazing, like, slide-by duck under.
He has that slide-by duck under. He has, like, an ankle pick, cross ankle pick. He has a scramble, like, ability, unlike most guys with his stature. He does very strange gymnastics, that guy. He is an excellent wrestler. Armand is more old school, you know, Eastern Black, stiff and slower grinding kind of a. He's a safer wrestler, so it's an excellent matchup, dude. This is like if you're a wrestling connoisseur, if you like wrestling, that will be a good match.
So Don, this guy goes around.
If Armand gets his way, it will be a boring match, I think.
So Don, this guy goes around with a sign. It says, take me down for is it $1,000 or $100?
$1,000. He never paid out yet.
Nobody's taking him down yet.
No, bro. No. People don't get him. It's amazing.
But Don, he was like, I think he was a state champion of Ohio, and he wrestled in college, and he placed in a couple tournaments, but he never All-American. He never did anything like high level in college, which is like, people were just like, well, who is this guy? But they're also saying he doesn't go against anyone high level. He kind of picks and chooses, they say.
You know, he's smart, man. He's fucking smart.
Also, David Carr is taking on Bubba Jenkins. Bubba's
out. Oh, wow. All right, man. I like that too. Bubba.
Bryce Meredith, who a great wrestler out of Wyoming, is taking on Andrew Aralaz. I don't know who that is, but doesn't mean anything.
Hey, let me interrupt you for a second, man. Dan Severn called me today and told me that Bobby Douglas passed away.
Yes. Yeah, he passed away. Was he your coach?
Yeah, he's my coach, you dumbass. Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
Fuck.
Sorry,
Doug. Where you been? He's been my coach at ASU for 4 years, you know?
Anything you want to say?
I just said it.
I mean, obviously you love the guy. He was an amazing coach, fucking world-class coach. I'm sorry, yeah. Don. I'm sorry, man.
Well, yeah, me too. Me too. But he was, you know, a good man. I mistreated him, you know, like I mistreated everybody. Like I mistreated my own dad and mom, you know, so. And they're good people. And I fucked up. And I should have said that when they were alive.
I'm sure he loved you, man. I'm sure he loved having you on a team. I'm sure he loved being your coach. You know, how could you not? I'm sure he was proud of you. Also, back to this. I'm sorry, Don. Aljamain Sterling is taking on Ben Henderson in this. Aljamain's taking it on short notice. Mayhem?
Yeah, man.
Jason?
What up?
Ben Henderson, Sterling?
Don't know Sterling, man. I'm sorry, I can't give an honest opinion.
You don't know Aljamain?
No, not Aljamain. What's the other guy's name?
Ben Henderson?
Oh, what the hell? I know both of those guys. And I think that, yeah, Aljamain Sterling is like sort of not a wrestler as much as the other guy, but he is younger. And kind of like a weird jiu-jitsu kind of. Yeah, I don't know who's going to win that one. I guess the fans will. That's who.
Yeah. I think Aljamain's taking us on like a
couple. Ray Rita! Thank you for being on the card, bro. Oh, my God. Yes, I'm back. Clay Guida. He's an inspirational figure, Captain Caveman. I know you know who that is, Don.
Yes, I love Clay.
He puts the effort in, bro. That's the name that I needed to see there to re-energize me. Whew.
My nephew. Yeah, my nephew. There you go.
Peace. Yeah, man. Hey, Don, I'm sorry you lost your people, man. It's like,
yeah, me too. Me too.
Don, you wrestled for him for what, for 4 years?
Yeah, I think maybe five. I think I redshirted, it was a redshirt year in there and then an injury year. So I think it might have been five.
But I mean, why would he be mad at you? You wrestled your ass off for him.
No, I didn't. I fucking sucked up a scholarship because I just wrestled. I just showed up to wrestling practice. I didn't lift weights. I didn't run. Didn't do anything extra that you're supposed to do, to be a champion. I just fucking put in my time clock and clocked in and clocked out and, chase pussy and drink beer,
Yeah, but what, you were 20 years old, 19 years old?
Yeah, 18, 19, 20.
I mean, you can't be so hard on yourself, man. I mean, you're 19 years old. You probably got pussy for the first time in your life.
Yeah, there's other guys out there in the same situation, and they're fucking winning the national title and pulling their weight on the team,
Yeah, but it was also different back then, man. Now it's way more of a business. You got like 9 coaches. You got people, nutritionists. You got people making sure that you don't fuck around.
No, but it's the same that you put the discipline in the room and be a nerd about it. And you're right. You're always going to have regrets if you go out there and you're right. You're right, Don.
Yeah, but Don, I mean, look, if you would have, maybe if you would have given it all your, that then you would have had nothing to prove and then you wouldn't have went on and became the pride legend. In the
It's U.S. possible. Yeah, that's right another there. Good point.
You're absolutely right there. If I'd have got, won the championship, I'd have just quit and become a high school wrestling coach, and I would never have fought. No, you're absolutely correct.
So everything happens for a reason, And I'm sure he was pretty proud of you when he saw you won the Ultimate.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. Fight
legend. I mean,
Yeah, he was. But I never got to straighten it out, and I sit down and have that heart-to-heart talk, to flush everything out, and clear it all.
Yeah, I mean, but
my facts all.
It's not, look, it's all a process, though, man. It's just all like,
I didn't do it with him. I didn't do it with my mom or dad. I fucked up, with 3 most people, most important people in my life, Fuck.
Yeah, but you're a great dad.
I don't ask the girls that one day.
Well, this is the heaviest thing that's ever happened on MMA Roasted, and I appreciate you guys, man. God bless you. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you, man. Both of you.
I get protective of Don, though, man. The last thing I want to see is you. Look, man. Hey, man. When I wrestled, I was a 4-time state champ or New England champion, and then I got to college. I didn't even make it past a semester. It's like, but then you put that effort into something else. It's like you can't beat yourself up for shit that didn't happen. It happened the way it was supposed to happen, And
right. I mean, otherwise my life would be completely different. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't go. Yeah. It sucks, but you know what though, man? There are people out there right now that you probably can reach out to before they die. So, I mean, are there anybody that you could I know that you and you and Hendo or somebody like you didn't see eye to eye with or whatever. So maybe reach out to them,
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
I think Jason left and now I'm just looking outside. All right. So this week, there's some good fights this week, actually.
My video doesn't work yet still.
What was that?
My video is not working still.
No, I can't see you. Let me see if I haven't seen you the entire show. So this week, oh, there you go. There's the man.
You didn't ask. It said you asked. So you didn't ask before that.
So this week it's a good UFC card. It's Moreno, Brandon Moreno. You know who that is?
Yeah, I like Brandon Moreno. Yeah, I love watching that little fucker.
So he's fighting this week. It's him versus Leonard Kavanaugh. I don't know who that is. The fight's in Mexico. The other guy's 9-1. And then Marlon Vera is on the card. Chito Vera. Bobby King Green. His last fight, his hands were – he won, but his hands were so low. He just walked forward with his hands down. I hope he doesn't get knocked out. I really don't. And now we'll talk about some news stories. I think Jason might have left. All right. So have you been following this Punch the Monkey story, Don?
No, never heard of it.
All right. So there's a little monkey in Japan whose mom left him when he was very little. And now he walks around with this giant stuffed animal monkey, but he's being bullied by the other monkeys. And the entire country now, they have like a live feed, is rooting for this monkey. But some people are saying, listen, maybe the monkey just, this is, you know, this is how monkeys do it, but he's being bullied.
Thank the monkey.
Also, a new photo has been released of Stephen Hawking with two girls in bikinis in the Epstein files. And they're saying he went to an underage orgy.
Well, a little late to go after that guy, isn't it?
But he was also paralyzed in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like, how did that? I mean, obviously,
how did that work out for him? You know, shit. He couldn't even fucking talk. Guy was frozen. You know, fuck.
I mean, could they put him in a corner or something? I don't know. People were mad at Gavin Newsom. You see him because he was in Georgia. And they're saying, people say it was a black crowd. People saying it wasn't. But he told them he was like them because he also can't read.
Yeah, he wasn't smart enough to read. Yeah. And he struggled his whole fucking life. Yeah. Life, it was like Chael Sonnen. You know, sometimes the maid didn't show up to answer the door. He had to do it himself, you know.
So you're not buying that he grew up in a hardship and it was like, you know, poor and
no, that Nancy shit. No, he's so full of shit. It's unbelievable.
So Bill Gates admitted he had two affairs with Russian hookers or Russian women. And then he apologized for going to Epstein Island so many times, but he said he never messed around with any of the girls there.
Right. Yeah. Of course not. And why else go then? You know, I mean, to check out who wants to eat his new bug menu.
Bonnie Blue, who's an OnlyFans, she's a prostitute, sleeps with men. Anyway, she banged 400 guys last week in one setting, and now she's pregnant and doesn't know who the dad is.
Of course not. Fuck. How would you guess? Unless it comes out of a zebra or something.
You think they should name it after all of them? Like, just have like a 400, like, might as well at that point give
the Mexican, kid, like a Mexican name, you know? Juan Pedro Moreno, Chinchilada, Senora, Maria, Esagada.
Then there's an Asian New York City elementary school principal was busted for moonlighting as a pimp. He was charging $2,000 to sleep with a woman. He was a principal at an elementary school. So I don't know.
At least he wasn't principal at high school. recruiting kids, you know.
Well, I don't think he was pimping out the kids. He was just pimping out another girl. Did you watch
his lovely wife, who he loves desperately, you know, and she loves him and not for the money either.
And then do you watch the BAFTA Awards, where basically the Charles, there were two black actors, Michael B. Jordan, and then Delroy Lindo were on stage. And there was a guy who had Tourette syndrome in the crowd yelling the N-word.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was only while they were on stage, though. So a lot of black people are a little questioning the Tourette's. Why it happened while they and they aired it. The BBC aired it and then apologized. Because it was like a 2-hour delay. They could have taken it out. But a lot of people now are going around saying words and just saying they have Tourette's.
Right.
So
like Kenny, like Kenny on South Park, he did that.
Well, that's
not Kenny, Hartman.
Carver, yeah. Well, that is our podcast for today. Anything you want to promote?
Yeah, this weekend I can't go to that wrestling thing because Dan Severn and I, we have an autograph signing at a place called the Toy Fort down in Sierra Vista, my old town. And then on Friday night, and then on Saturday, there's a pro wrestling match over there. Dan Severn will be the guest referee for the finals.
I love that. For the main event. And I got shows coming up. Go to adamhuntercomedy.com. Hey, Don, I'm really sorry about your friend, man, about your coach.
Yeah, thanks, babe.
But I know you made him proud. I mean, come on. If a kid that I coached didn't give it his all and then went on to become a UFC champion, ultimate champion, I think I'm going to take some pride in that I helped him get there. And,
He did. Definitely did. Yeah. I mean, I learned a lot from the man.
So,
and like Dan Severn said, you know, Dan was his assistant coach. Dan got there in 76, you know, to wrestle for him, and said that, you know, Dan sat in on some of the meetings with the FA director and all the other coaches and everything. And Dan said the way they would talk to Bobby, you know, they would talk down to him. And it's just, you know, it was stunning. He was just floored because the way they treated, you know, the way they treated a black man back in the late 70s, you know, they wouldn't treat anybody else like that, wouldn't talk to him like that. But, you know, Bobby had to put up with his shit, and he did, and he became the first, you know, national wrestling champion of a team champion, you know.
Well, I mean, look at his legacy, man. Look at how many people he affected. So I'm sorry about your friend, man, and sorry if I didn't I didn't know how to react, to be honest, when you said that. Like, I felt like I wasn't as compassionate maybe as I should have been.
Oh no, I threw it on you, man. Fuck, I just threw it on you. You know? It came out of nowhere. Fuck.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, man. But I just know that, like, you've been a great inspiration to a lot of people, man, and you know, and I'm sure you got that from Bobby, but you know, and dude, it all, you don't want to peak when you're in college. You fucking peaked in life when it counted. So
right, absolutely. When you're making money, yeah.
Well, have a good rest of the week, brother.
You too, babe. Good luck.
Borough Talks, the Borough Market Podcast, is back. We've got a brilliant lineup for you this series. We've got Elliot Hastrudi talking all things offal at his amazing restaurant Camille. Brindisi's Monica Linton sharing her thoughts on the evolution of British cuisine. And the founders of Genki talking all things matcha. All of this plus chats about the future of British cheese and the unique flavours of one of Italy's lesser known regions. That's Borough Talks, the Borough Market Podcast. Follow on Spotify today.